Who do you want to talk about first?
McSherman. The Athletic.
He can play. And we need people that can play. And we'll never be royal. Let me live that
fantasy.
McSherman. The Athletic. On the Connor Happer Show. On 1620, The Zone.
He can play.
And we're joined now on the 42 Degrees of Source Hotline by Mitch Sherman of The Athletic. Mitch, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. I'm looking forward to a doubleheader of Royals baseball this afternoon.
I was going to say, we get a double dip and we don't have to dread it the entire time because it used to be that if there was a doubleheader, I would just be like, well, that means double the losses in the day for the Royals. But not that way anymore, especially when they're playing the crappy White Sox.
The White Sox, I saw they were 2-14. So
that's right.
They're enjoying the kind of April that Kansas City fans, it might even go beyond what Kansas City fans are accustomed to.
Yeah, I think it does. Like, in their case, there's actually no hope, where in Kansas City, you always, like, there was always something that you had to hang on to. But in this case, I don't think there's any hope. So, yeah.
What their attendance will be in July.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Not very good. I can't imagine very good. Okay, Mitch, let's go on to some football things here. As there was an open period yesterday. Got a couple things out of that. Matt Rhule talking about he even makes Nebraska's lack of activity into and out of the transfer portal sound kind of interesting because of the way he kind of frames things up. But, he talked about how it didn't, I was like, if they're going to go in the transfer portal, they're going to go in the transfer portal. He just projects so much confidence in what they're doing and their plan when he talks about player movement in this era. It's honestly, I think it's pretty refreshing.
Sure, he finds a way to, I guess, make it interesting. That's maybe not his goal with that. I think he wants to keep fans engaged, yeah, but more so he wants to keep recruits engaged, and he wants to be able to explain all that's going on in his program. And you look around the country on a day like Tuesday, and it's going on again today, and you see programs remaking their rosters and, having double-digit departures, which is going to lead to double-digit new arrivals. And Nebraska's going to have some of that. You get to the end of the spring, and there will be a modest number, I would say, of players who leave, and a smaller number that come to Nebraska from the portal. You have to embrace that aspect of roster building in this day of college football. But it's very much on the back burner at Nebraska, and Rhule chooses instead to focus on the things that keep his players in Lincoln instead of succumbing to the pressure to get in that game and go to the highest bidder. He talked about yesterday about how coaches have approached some of the Nebraska players. And, if there's if there's players who've come to the coaches with information that they've received from other programs, then that there are probably some players out there on the Nebraska roster who are contemplating it, who didn't come straight to the coaches and say, hey, this is what I heard. But, Rhule frames it, like you said, in a refreshing way, in that he highlights the things in his program, from nutrition and strength and development, sports science, whatever it is, player development, strength and conditioning, that are keeping Nebraska players in Lincoln. And, I think he's right. I think there's a reason that you don't see all the movement at Nebraska, and it has to do with the stability that he's built.
As far as additions for Nebraska, is there anyone? Is it fair to even categorize it as they're like, you're always looking, you're always aware of what's going on, and if something falls into your lap, then I'm sure Nebraska would take advantage of that. But is active even a word that you would use with them as far as player acquisition at this point in the portal?
I think so. I think you always have to be active, and I think you can look to Evan Cooper's probably their number. Not probably. He is their number one evaluator. He's their the chief scout, I suppose. he's going to look over things in the portal. And I think film will be brought to him. And you can kind of monitor some of his social media activity, who he's following, and to get a sense of not who Nebraska's ready to offer, but perhaps who they're interested in looking more at and starting a conversation. Once players go into the portal, if they show up on Evan Cooper's radar and you know, he drops them a follow, then it's gone to the next level. Not the level that it'll take to bring them into Lincoln, but the next level. And yeah, they're looking. You know, there's not so much of a concern anymore about staying within the 85 scholarships because there's flexibility related to NIL. So it allows you, even if you're at the limit or above the limit, to look around, and you don't know what you're going to lose too. Some of what Nebraska does over the next month will be dictated by what happens after spring practice or even this week or next week and who goes into the portal. There's not a position right now that just screams help me. But they might look at a quarterback. I think you're always interested in an offensive tackle because those players are at a premium. Same thing with an interior defensive lineman. Not a starter for this year, but someone who could be a starter down the road. Maybe a linebacker, depending on what they're getting out of the early enrollees and transfers who have come into the program. So only they know exactly what their needs are because they've seen the personnel up close. But I do think that they're active and looking.
Is there a position on offense? We've got through, I think, almost all, if not all, the assistant coaches so far, talking with those guys. Is there a position group on offense that you don't feel, let's say, considerably better about from this year to last year at this point?
Just running back. It's the only one I feel considerably better about: offensive line, tight end, and wide receiver. And then, you know, wide receiver was in a little bit different spot last year because you had Xavier Betts, who was a story in spring a year ago and into the fall before he left. And you had Isaiah Garcia-Castaneda, who was healthy. And there were some good things happening with the wide receivers. And then it all kind of disintegrated once the season began. So there's a risk that something like that could happen again. But right now, I definitely feel better, much better, about the wide receivers. And I wrote some about that today on The Athletic after the wide receivers talked to the media yesterday, and we heard from Garrett McGuire. I feel much better than I did, like, say, in September or October. Running backs is kind of static. It is where it is. You know, Dante Dowdell hasn't come in and, you know, taken the number one position at this point, the Oregon transfer. He may not. Maybe he will. But he's still transitioning. Gabe Irvin is coming back from injury. Ramir Johnson's in a green jersey as he rehabs. So you've got Quentin Ives as a healthy guy. You've got Emmett Johnson as a healthy guy. But it's not a position where you look at it and you just go, yeah, that's miles ahead of where it was last spring.
Doesn't it kind of fit the, like, I'm not saying that it's a good thing to be unsure if it's better, but like, we've heard Matt Rhule talk about the way that they approach running backs. It's not going to be just one guy who kind of runs away with the job. They're probably going to have specific roles for their top three or four. Like, it kind of fits with how they approach the position, it feels like.
I think that's just running backs in general and at most levels of football, with the caveat being that if you get a player, like if you get one of those Alabama backs from the past few years or the past like decade and a half of Alabama backs, then you're going to make him the featured guy. Part of the reason I think that NFL teams and college teams have primarily gone to like a by committee thing is just because it's hard to hold up in football today as a running back who can take the kind of pounding that they do from bigger, faster defensive players and the way defenses scheme, that in order to keep your players healthy, you have to have an approach with multiple backs, unless you have a truly special player. And certainly if Nebraska finds one of those guys, then that talk about using three or four or five will go out the window. But right now that's where they're at. And considering their situation, they have depth. They don't necessarily have someone who stands out right now on April 17th. It's a good position to be in.
Hey, before we let you go, Mitch, I wanted to ask you about Husker baseball. And I say this with a little bit of knowledge because we got up to this point this morning on our podcast. How close are you to hitting the panic button on Nebraska baseball?
As I told you, I'm getting there. I'm inching toward it. My hand is creeping toward the big red panic button. It's 5 out of 6 games Nebraska's lost now since the Sunday against Ohio State at home when things were looking good. 6 out of 9. You've seen them lose 3 consecutive Tuesdays. The Big Ten doesn't leave margin for error, and that's the concern. We saw it last year when Nebraska looked like a very good team at times, yet went into the postseason, the Big Ten tournament, knowing that it needed to win that Big Ten tournament in order to get into the NCAA postseason. And that's what it's trying to avoid, but it's going down a bad road with the way that these Tuesdays have gone. Now, it's not like you losing to there were some games that Nebraska lost last year in the midweek that were bad losses. And Creighton is not a bad loss. Kansas was a loss that you can absorb. But you have to win some of these games. You really need to win more of them than you lose, which leaves Nebraska with little margin for error over the rest of the regular season when it comes to the midweek games. And they seem to keep playing well in the Big Ten and hope that the series loss last week at Rutgers is an anomaly. And they get back on the winning track this weekend at home against Maryland.
All right, Mitch. Appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Connor.
Mitch Sherman of The Athletic. We also talked for 30 minutes this morning, and it's on YouTube if you want to find it. Just saying. We're also on YouTube on this show right now. So watch this show.
You're always talking to Mitch.
There's just content, you know, there's just out there. Yeah.
Connor flushing toilets.
That's also out there.
Yeah.
I think that's a video that's about to, like, it's going to have a delayed fuse.
Yeah. It's going to pop.
Like the lemons on Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, okay. You really did watch this movie recently.
Yeah. It's going to have a delayed fuse. And so then in a couple of years, people are going to find this video in the depths of YouTube. They're going to be like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
And we'll be ready.
We'll be ready for it. And we'll be ready to monetize it
mm-hmm.
at that exact moment. Yeah, he's right. I'll tell you what, though. Like, while I don't think I'm as concerned maybe as Mitch is, he's right about one thing. It is a very, very thin line in between. It's the same case with the Big East, for the record. Very, very thin line in between, like, winning your conference completely and then being a 2 or a 3 in the NCAA tournament and feeling really good about your standing, and then not making your conference tournament as a whole. Even more so in the Big East, where only 4 teams make it. In the Big Ten, at least there's 8. And so it can get crowded in there really fast, especially when you're not, like, Nebraska and Creighton. Neither of those teams are considerably better than anybody else in their conference, right? They might be the best teams at the end of the day, but neither of them are considerably better than anybody else. It's just, you know, can you find a way to squeak a couple out? So, the line is definitely, definitely very thin. It gets scary if you start dropping. Oh, we lost 2 out of 3 this weekend, and then we followed up with another loss 2 out of 3, and we lost in the midweek game. And all of a sudden, you've lost 8 out of 9, and you're like, oh boy, what's going on? So it could develop into that really, really quickly. All right, we will come back. Josh will bring you the odd news. A reminder to get your questions in for the tweet bag because we have $50 to Woodcliff Restaurant for you.
It's all on the line
at Happer Show. Get your questions in. That's the only way you can win. Or, of course, you can get the half-off deal on Friday at 9 at 1620thezone.com. But why pay for it when you can just get it for free here by asking a question?
Yeah, seems a lot easier this way.
Indeed, indeed. So we'll have that coming up at noon. The odd news is next on 1620 The Zone. Last night we saw the first couple NBA play-in tournament games and a couple more tonight as bad teams will have a chance to play their way into the postseason. So it only seems right that new customers on FanDuel could play their way into $150. Just place any $5 bet and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. So we have a couple series that are set. If you would like to bet the Nuggets to sweep the Lakers clean in 4 games or just a gentleman's sweep, you could do that on the FanDuel Sportsbook or individual props, first basket, scores, rebounds, points, overs, unders, and more. Head to FanDuel.com/Happer and get started right now. That's FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 and over present in Iowa.
First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.